We believe that humanity should no longer pollute the Earth, but the Titans, whose souls are pulled down by gravity, think only of ravaging it.
Do y'all remember what happened last time?
Last time on Fetty Scum.
I killed a bunch of people. That's what I remember.
On the last episode, y'all finally left Luna airspace to begin your approach to do your re-entry drop mission into Earth to get to Alaska. But at the last minute, the Earth Federation smelt something was up or had a tip of some kind.
So we killed them.
And decided to attack and stop you guys. Tom decided we weren't going to play ball this time. And we fought. And yeah, y'all killed a few, but...
A few?
And they were going to surrender, but most were killed by Rastmarco and his weird knights showing up.
Yeah, I remember.
Oh, yeah. Damn.
The brass knights.
They show up last minute and, like, finish off the ones that were surrendering. And then have kind of demanded an audience.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to this scene.
Yeah, it's
at
time
all.
To get Lone Star killed.
Can we just time skip yeah. past it?
Arrest has grown up so much.
I know. My heart sank as soon as I remembered where we left off. Oh, man.
And so the Zeon style ship that kind of looks like a. Is it Chive? I think it's a Chive. I think it's called a Thive, but y'all wouldn't know that. But it's a Chive style kind of ship, but elongated.
Why say it then?
Has kind of stuck pulled up next to the Saint Sebastian as you are making your approach for reentry. So this meeting would kind of be under the pressure of a ticking time clock because eventually y'all are going to have to do your reentry mission. So the meeting has to be done fairly quickly.
A time clock as opposed to a what clock?
as a dead clock, a not moving clock, a broken clock.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right, Adam.
It's a ticking time clock that we're trying to beat out here.
Y'all are in the same conference room that you kind of were in to negotiate the mercenaries' terms when joining the AUG, quotation marks around joining the AUG. Except this time, y'all are all on the same side of it. Captain Tom and the rest of you guys and Lon Doc. Y'all are sitting in a bit of an awkward silence. I would say that everyone at this point knows who you're meeting with. You've heard the name Lieutenant Commander Rastmarco get thrown out. So, y'all can discuss that if you would like.
Well, I'm going to nudge Madgun. Madgun, do you think it's that Rastmarco?
Knowing my luck for the last, like, 4 years? Yeah, it probably is.
I can't imagine him being anything, like, higher than an instant. That's kind of crazy.
Well, you know, he never was ambitious or had anywhere he wanted to go in life. He was kind of just, like, part of the room, you know?
Kind of just meandering around, yeah.
Well, guys, I wanted to talk to you after we went out there, but looks like the secret's just out now. That is the Rastmarco, yeah. And
how do you know?
That this bullet hole right here, you see this thing right here? I'm, like, pointing at the hole in my stomach. That was him. He did that.
What? Why?
Yeah, I was gonna fill you guys in on that. I didn't expect him to show up today.
Why'd he shoot you, though? I don't... Like, did you do something to him?
I followed him into a casino and
told
him about my true identity. I look off to the side.
We're all like, wait, what?
I don't think now's the time to bring out the... Captain Tom looks like he's mostly tired about this.
Wait, true identity?
It's fine. We'll talk about it later.
What do you mean by true?
We'll talk about this
true
later.
Look, just... We're gonna hear him out.
What?
We'll hear what he has to say. And hopefully he'll just leave without wanting anything. That'll be great, right?
I mean, knowing the monkey, sure. That's probably what's gonna happen. He's kind of a pushover. Kind of a loser.
Call him Brass Monkey straight to his face.
I don't know. I think things are a bit different now.
You hear footsteps approaching down the hall, several of them, and the door to the meeting room opens. In a Zeon uniform, white and gold, with pauldrons and a red cape, is
Rastmarco.
See what I mean?
He's recognizably Rastmarco to those who would know him, but obviously a bit older. It's been like almost like a good half decade plus since you guys saw him.
Does he still have holes in his head?
If he did, you can't see them.
Okay.
Did you make him have long hair now?
Yeah.
He has dreadlocks now plugged into his skull.
That's pretty cool.
He has long hair. In the casino, it was down, and here in dress uniform, it's tied up in the back.
Is it his actual hair, or is it like a wig?
He has like a mullet.
You would assume it is his actual hair.
It's a Joe Dirt mullet.
New Rast would totally have a wig.
It's a wig that he put on, and then his head kind of fused into it.
That's what I imagined was the end of Joe Dirt. Spoilers, when he had the fucking dreads and shit.
Yeah.
God. Horrific.
Oh.
Anyways, he has a very stern, serious look on his face, and he kind of surveys the table in front of him. But you notice that there's a moment or two of surprise across his face when he looks at Holden, Tom, and Madgun.
Hi, Brass Monkey.
Oh.
That's Lieutenant Commander Marco to you, Mr. Gether.
I'll try to remember that.
Hey, Rast. I mean, Lieutenant Marco, Rast, Mark.
Holden.
So you remember these guys, huh?
He looks to you, and he has like a curious expression on his face.
I tip my shades.
Maybe he's rethinking something. Maybe he's doing a little bit of math in his head.
So many familiar faces in one room. It's amazing, isn't it?
He's thinking that he killed the imposter, so this has to be the real one.
Yeah, he's like, who's that guy I killed?
He sits down across from Captain Tom and ignores both Holden and Cinco for now. His men that were following him, four of them, two sit on either side. It doesn't go beyond notice of anyone with eyes that all of these men fit a particular archetype. They are sleeveless, muscular, brunettes with handsome faces wearing sunglasses.
I don't like me. Oh, my God.
I don't think that's who you are.
They're just like me, for real, for real. Look at that.
Just like me.
I stand up at them and I give each and every one of them like a firm handshake, you know?
Yeah, they all seem to be of a relatively chill disposition and are willing to shake your hands. Oh, well, yeah, here you go. Yeah, all right, sure.
Yeah,
all
real right, recognize yeah. real boys.
Cool. Yeah, all right, yeah.
I mentioned okay. a Madgun. These guys are pretty cool. These guys are pretty chill. Hey, which one of you could run the fastest?
They all raise their hand at the same time.
God damn it.
Wow, an impressive crew you have here.
We have important things to discuss.
Beautiful men.
And not much time.
I'm feeling their muscles right now. Beautiful men.
Like lifting their lips up to look at their teeth, like, wow.
Yeah.
That's a crop good. Right here.
Pat one on the ass. That's a good man.
The one you're feeling the muscles of is also feeling your muscles. Are like, yeah, impressive. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
You got a real runner right here, I could tell. I'm just grabbing his thighs.
Enough! He slams his fist down on the table. We don't have much time, and I have some fairly serious terms we need to discuss. He looks back at the crew across all of you, and eyes stop on Captain Tom. What I offered earlier in battle was an olive branch.
Sorry.
As I was saying, an olive branch from Axis Zeon's forward attack fleet to the Saint Sebastian of the Aeug. We share a common enemy in the Titans. Do we not? He looks across the table. He's looking for nods or just like signs
I'm
of
nodding.
Like, sure, yeah.
I'm just sitting back with my arms crossed, just watching him.
Mm-hmm. I'm sitting thinking and then I'm like, and then it hits me and I start nodding.
I'm doodling on a piece of paper.
This common enemy is cause enough for us to ally ourselves with one another. That is why I am here. I offer protection to the Saint Sebastian while its mobile suit teams are away on that Earth mission you're going to.
You weren't informed?
Yeah, Captain Tom barks up like, how did you know?
Now there's a leak. I knew it.
Rass just leans back in his seat. How would I know?
Wait, that means a different kind of leak. How is there so many leaks? We got a Zeon leak. We got a Titans leak. What the fuck?
My protection will come relatively cheap. Simply an ally for the future conflict on the horizon. Lady Haman, with the Axis fleet in full tow, are arriving.
In full tow.
Something you want to tell us? Does Marker got a foot fetish all of a sudden?
Fucking hell, dude.
Did you say Axis
fleet? This guy's got feet on the brain, man.
Axis fleet! Axis fleet! Fleet!
In full...
In full what, Marco?
In full force, we'll be arriving in the Earth sphere. I will simply need you to play ball when we are searching for allies. The Saint Sebastian will be our anchor in the Aeyug. That is my intention.
Well, Captain?
Captain Tom's like, I don't know about that. Future promises like that are shady, uneasy. What exactly would being an ally of Axis even entail in the future? Sure, we're allies of convenience now, but I can't see most of the Aeyug agreeing with... Well,
come on, Tom. Something. It's not like they're going to do another colony drop. Come on.
Tom kind of looks at you. With the expression of a man who's lived through two colony drops. Tom looks like he's not going to go along with this, but he is going to kind of allow each of you to kind of say your piece, like Holden did, you know, have input. He's searching for input. He's a bit uneasy in his decision. Obviously, telling these allies to fuck off is a big geopolitical decision that is probably above Tom's pay grade as a captain of a single ship in the Aeyug. So he's throwing
I'm
it
with
out
Tom there. On this one. What do we have to gain from this?
Yeah, what do we get from this? Because I can see a short temporary alliance. Not a problem. But long term, I mean, you remember what happened to Miami?
Don't remind me what happened in Miami.
Why not? We had good times in Miami and we had good times in Mobile too.
Freaking Holden has a flashback to Mad Gun tackling him on the ground in Miami. Still hurts a little. Still a little sore, Mad Gun, Miami.
We did not have good times in Miami. If not for him, I would have been dead.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure I took you fishing.
That did happen.
Yeah, I think I did take you fishing, and we had good times fishing.
There was some fishing. I don't remember if Rast was part of that, but yeah, there was fishing.
I think Madgun used Rast on the lure, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there was fishing.
Rast has a sour expression on his face. What you would gain is the Saint Sebastian not being dead in the water without a single mobile suit to defend it while its teams are away.
I'm gonna pipe and be like, Tom, I have been, you know, a former ally of Captain Lieutenant Marco.
Lieutenant Commander. Lieutenant
Commander Captain Marco. I'm pretty sure we could trust him. I have no reason to believe that we can't.
That's surprising coming from you.
Did you say that about me? You know what?
Yes, he did.
You know what?
He said that about you.
Wait, what?
I trusted him in Miami, and look how that ended for me.
I don't know. I remember receiving you in space, floating around, almost dead.
I don't remember that.
You gave me a lot of aid, but when push came to shove on Axis, you sided with the loyalists, not Lady Haman.
What? I just didn't side with Lady Haman.
That's the same as siding with the loyalists!
No, I was gonna file some paperwork. I was just, it went a little late.
He runs a hand through his hair. He's clearly flustered. Frustrated by this.
You know what, Tom? Forget what I said.
He's fucking... He's pouting now.
I don't know if we can trust him. I mean, this is clearly not the same Rast we used to know.
You didn't know any Rast. You're an imposter!
Hey, leave Cinco alone!
Hmm.
Cinco. Cinco, cinco, cinco.
It means five, sure. Okay?
I know what it means, you fucking imbecile.
Oh, you can speak Spanish now.
Fucking hell.
Watch your profanity, dude. The rest I know didn't use harsh language.
This man here is pretending to be Lone Star.
What?
I can't believe you two bastards are playing along with it. I thought you were friends. I thought you had a higher opinion of Lone Star. To let this man masquerade.
Spoilers. All right, guys, look.
He's outed you. I'm sorry.
Spoilers, Rast. Okay, guys. I was going to tell you in a way cooler and more dramatic way later on, but he's right. I am. I take off my ridiculously large shades.
What? Oh, my God.
Lone Star. The shooting star.
That wasn't hard to figure out.
Yeah, you told me day one I was just playing along.
What the hell?
Lon Doc is like, oh my god! Oh,
I'm just feeding off of their surprise, the surprise of Holden and Long Deck. I'm like,
are you seeing this?
Yeah, this whole time.
I've been fighting alongside Lone Star this whole time. Holy shit!
That's right. That's right.
He's gonna cream his pants. Get him out of here.
Should be proud of yourself.
I'm best friends with Lone Star. This is crazy.
He's not the real Lone Star. I don't know why you guys are pretending.
Hey, Rast, that's the real Lone Star, buddy.
Look at his seven pack. That's Lone Star.
Captain Tom's also confused. Like, I'm pretty sure he's the real deal. Rast looks at Lone Star. I guess I can say that without it being a slip of the tongue now.
Yay!
Finally,
It's not like all the viewers didn't know.
They were saying it was Copilot. That was the leading theory.
Yeah. Everyone was playing along in hilariously convoluted plots.
Yes.
It's fun. Thanks for playing along, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Barast looks at you, and for a moment, you can see a doubt cross his face.
Lone Star, do the run.
All right.
Don't do the
Watch out, guys.
Gonna run around the table?
Yeah, I'm just going to run around the table.
Now, Rast, I want you to watch him run and tell me this isn't Lone Star.
Watch this.
Nobody can mimic that form.
All right, everyone, stand clear. Make way for the shooting star.
Yeah!
And then I just go super fast.
Rast is surprised, and more so surprised are his four goons.
Oh, he's so fast!
Or like, oh my god!
He's so fast! He was a blur, did you see that?
Really was like looking at a shooting star.
Lon Doc is very impressed. Can I get I know I already got your signature as Cinco Venus, but can I get your signature as Lone Star 2 in my book?
Sure. Alright, and Lone Star.
When the exchange of the signature book gets traded off to Lone Star, Rast stands up and angrily slams a hand on the table. Enough! I want an answer one way or the other when I come back. Where's your wash closet? I need some water on my face.
Wash closet.
Go to bathroom or ahead. You know, we are in a ship.
He fucking he stares daggers at Mad Gun and then leaves the room.
I knew he wouldn't do anything. He's always been too scrawny to do anything to me.
In reality, he's the same old Rast.
Yeah.
Love that guy.
Hey, don't talk about the Lieutenant Commander that way, says one of the buff guys.
Sorry. You know, you guys should help him work out, though, because he could benefit from just a little bit more muscle. Just a little bit.
What's his name?
Tat.
Tat.
Did you just come up with that just then?
Tat, Lat, yeah. Gat, Bat.
Tat, Lat, Gat, Matt.
Can't use that last one.
It's copyrighted. Come on.
I never saw him like this. This is weird. This is strange behavior. These are all different people talking to each other, by the way. They just all sound the same.
Okay. Okay.
Captain Tom looks at the rest of you guys. So does him knowing you guys make you want to change your mind on the deal, or are we still telling them to fuck off?
I mean, I never really had an opinion on the deal to begin with.
I mean, look, he knows us, but do we know him?
That's true.
Captain Tom, here's how I look at it, right? If you take our advice and it backfires, our heads are on the chopping block. They're going to be like, and then yours is going to be on the chopping block as well, because you're going to be like, hey, why'd you listen to a bunch of fucking mercenaries? On the other hand, if you make the decision, it's just your head on the chopping block. Either way, it's a lose-lose.
You're right. I have a responsibility as a captain to make this decision myself.
So do you think he's offering, like, you know, if you make the decision, it's not like the AU goes him. It's just us particularly.
That is true. That is very true. It would just be us.
Seems like he just wants us to argue for Axis when Axis shows up. Try to convince the rest of the AUG. I guess we could just not follow through on that. He's like, oh shit.
He's kidding, boys. He's kidding. That's our captain.
The four Rast Marco bodyguards are playing paper football.
I do the field goal with my hands. I'm like, come on. Hey.
He gets it. Oh, they all
they all stand up and start partying.
We start high fiving.
Lone Star feels slightly insulted looking at all this.
You should be. These are pale imitations of you. From a man who claimed to be very upset at you being a pale imitation.
Hold on. Do they actually look a little bit like Lone Star?
Yes, every single one of them. They look off model. Each one looks like an off model. It's like a slightly off model Lone Star.
Hey, Lone Star, I think Rast might have a little obsession, buddy. Maybe you should follow him to the bathroom. Give him what he really wants.
I'm both flattered and insulted. Look at these guys.
Well, look at it this way. If anybody can reach Rast Marco, it would be his best friend, Lone Star. You should go give it a shot while we stay.
Last time you tried that, he got shot.
Yeah, but we've put the seed of doubt in his mind now, so it's good. Go for it.
I agree with Mad Gun here. I think that would be a good call. If there's any chance of this deal working out now, after that hissy fit, it's probably with you.
What am I supposed to do?
Plus, Lone Star, there's two urinals in there. It'll just seem like you just have to piss.
Two urinals? Just two? That's way too sus.
You'll have to be right next to him. It's perfect.
Dear God.
This is a great plan. I think you should go for it.
I think this is the best chance we got.
Yeah, I agree.
Out of character, what do you guys want me to do?
Make the joke like, hey, you need to wash your hands and then start pissing on his hands. You know, the old classic joke.
No, yeah, classic.
Don't go to that.
Classic.
Show him your feet. The classic. Show him your feet. He's got a feet thing now.
That's true.
It's canon.
Yeah,
it's
canon. Flush with my foot.
Going barefoot to the bathroom.
is Lone Star going to go to the bathroom and try to have a scene with Rast?
Okay. All right, I'm going.
Hey, if you kiss him, I won't judge you.
I step over the crowd of the Lone Star lookalikes playing on the ground. Excuse me.
They're like having a tickle fight.
Oh, gosh. You guys are cute. I'd tickle one of them. What the fuck? All right. And then I get out of there.
Nightmares.
Honestly, awful.
Good kids. They're all my age. Good kids. All right. I step outside. And I go into the washroom /head/ whatever the fuck Rast called it.
The wash closet.
The wash head?
The wash closet.
The loo.
All right, you step into the bathroom and you hear a toilet flush as you step into the bathroom. And the stall opens and Rast Marco steps out smoothing his cape out.
I'm just washing my hands, styling my hair a little bit. See him in the reflection. Hey. We did some talking. I think we're willing to go through with it. You still on board?
He takes a few steps toward you. His face gets very serious. His hand goes to his sidearm on the side of his dress uniform.
I stand up straight, face him.
I told you what would happen if you said you were him again, didn't I?
Well, are you convinced? I make one step closer.
The hand that was on, that's not on his firearm, grabs you by your lapels and pushes you against the wall.
Kiss him!
This is getting so gay, I love it.
All right, I'm against the wall. I don't really react much to it.
Is this what you want? A bullet through your head? Here in a restroom?
The gun is out now.
Is this what you want? To kill your friend? Lone Star?
I already killed him once. What part of that don't you understand? I left him dead in space. And if he wasn't, then everything that I did after that is...
Rast, remember that time in Miami before you left? And then I hug him. I pull him in closer for an embrace. Last time I hugged him was in Miami. You know it's me. You can feel it.
There's a lot of tension in his body as you hug him. He's not prepared to be hugged. And it doesn't seem like he wants to be hugged at first. There's a little bit of a pushback, and you can feel him tense the gun. You can actually feel the gun pressing into your side, but then you feel it get removed, and you hear it clatter on the floor, and he hugs you back.
Piss on his hands.
Just kidding.
Piss on his hands.
But I killed you. I know I killed you.
No, Rast, you did the right thing. You turned away. We ended the fight.
It's just, it's not right. In my head, it's not right.
I know a lot of things aren't right, but you're here now. It's okay. Whatever you did, whatever happened between last time I saw you and now, I'm just so glad you're here.
He pushes you back a bit. And looks you in the eye. He's crying.
I can't let my men see me like this. Give me a moment to clean up.
Okay, take your time. I'm going back out there.
As you start to leave the restroom, you hear the click of a gun behind you. You turn and you see Rast Marko pointing the gun at you. Bang, he puts it in a holster.
I smirk, and then I leave.
I'm glad we forced you to do that, Zach. That was a good scene.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
I'm going to give some of the man-on-man crowd something to look forward to right there.
That's the entire crowd.
Yeah, what are you talking about? That's everyone.
Exactly. I may not be in the Discord, but I know what the people want.
Hey, guys. Welcome to the commercial break. If you haven't heard already, we just released the second part to our pirate-themed bonus episode, the one with all the jealousy. That's the title of the episode. It's a ripoff of a Friends episode title. You'd have to listen to the bonus episode to understand why we chose that name. So if you would like to be in on cool inside jokes like that, be sure to join our Patreon at the $5 and up tier to gain access to all of our new Zeta Era bonus content. I mean, some of our zaniest adventures are locked within these bonus episodes, and we make sure to really make them worth your while. Besides from bonus content, you'd get early access to our regular episodes and lifetime access to our patron Discord server. Hell, just the other day, we put out a poll where our Discord members got to choose the next significant character death. So you can blame them for that. All right, that about does it. Enjoy the rest of the episode.
Rast returns to the negotiation table looking very composed and not like he had just had a mental breakdown and was crying. He's much more amenable with his negotiations again, kind of like he was at the beginning, you know, a straight offer. And Tom accepts, as y'all kind of discussed. Y'all don't necessarily have much to hold up on your end. And the Saint Sebastian as a ship could gain a lot of protection, considering it has no mobile suits to defend it while you guys are away. The meeting comes to a close.
Sounds good.
The Axis forward attack fleet of the Brass Knights begin to leave on their shuttle that they arrived in the hangar on and return back to their ship. Captain Tom tells you that he would like to meet all of you in the briefing room just to go over the drop operation in Alaska one last time before you go down to Earth, because there's only one shot at this, really. Axis ship that had pulled alongside of you once receiving the shuttle departs. It hangs around. It stays nearby, but it's not going to dip into the outer atmosphere of Earth like the Saint Sebastian is going to send off the mobile suits. but it looks like it'll be on a intercept course for the St. Sebastian's return from dropping you guys into the atmosphere. You meet Captain Tom in the briefing room. He's has a pretty serious expression, and there's a mess of papers before him. All right, so... Well, I guess that's something I don't have to worry about anymore until I have to worry about it a lot more, probably.
I'm sure it'll be all good. It's I can't see this having negative repercussions.
Yeah, no, yeah, yeah, uh-huh. Fuck.
I think it'll be okay, Tom.
Look, it could go either way, but let's just pretend like it's only going to go the good way.
That's what I do all the time.
Yeah. So about thinking of the glass half full. Tom, okay?
I'll try. For now, let's focus on the re-entry and drop operation. So the original target, it's Earth Federation base, Buckland base in Alaska. Nearby, we have some allies, and the base has a lot of Earth Federation troops on it that, well, they're beginning to see AUG colors, let's say.
Nice.
Oh. Promising.
Our objective is to provide support to our allies on the ground and give them a beachhead for taking Earth from the Titans. We'll be dropping you onto the Seaward Peninsula of Alaska. He brings up a map of Alaska and points at the Seaward Peninsula. Now, because of how late we are, your landing's going to be a bit off. Our rotation of the Earth isn't that even, and our approach isn't either, thrown off by that fight. So... I've radioed to our allies and contacts on the ground and told them they're going to have to go searching for you a bit further out. And that might mean surviving in the Alaskan wilderness for about a day or two before they find you. We're going to be giving each of you, along with your balut systems for re-entry, some additional supplies for survival. Food, rations, heat-generating packets, tents. You get the idea. Any questions?
Tom, so I know it's in the contract to, you know, once we join the AU to at least like maintain to a certain degree our mobile suits once we joined your ranks. My pirate suit doesn't have a heater system in it. It has no sort of air conditioning.
Like I said, you might have to camp for a bit. The reactor should keep you warm enough for my experience fighting in the Pacific Northwest during the winter.
Well, in my experience, reactors can give you cancer.
Well,
he's right. I saw an article about that, actually. Well,
yeah, but you're already in the mobile suit.
Yeah, but so you can't just like install a, you know, quick and dirty heating system. Come on. There's got to be one lying around somewhere.
I don't think we have one just laying around. I don't know why that would be removed in the first place.
I don't know either. It's a long story. But yeah, mine didn't come with one.
Look, I can give you some more of those little heating gel packs and maybe another blanket.
Fine. Whatever, yeah. That'll work, I guess. I'm going to go read the contract again.
Look, the allies down on the ground are going to be far better prepared than we are up here. They're going to be well supplied. They're going to be organized. They're going to be professionals. Trust me.
Sure.
I trust you, Tom.
We all do. You're doing good.
All right. Any other questions before you load up and we launch you?
None from me.
Good. Once you're past a certain point, you'll lose communications with the Saint Sebastian. That's just a process of re-entry. We also won't be able to support you at that angle. You'll be beneath us. Not like in a status way, but like you'll be physically beneath us. Our guns won't be able to reach down there. The beams will be dispersed with ozone, increasingly so, and weakened by it. There won't be any way to us for us to support you. So once you pass that point of no return...
I'm sleeping.
Once you pass that point of no return... All that'll be left is to wait long enough, but not too long. Pop your balutes, and that'll keep you safe for re-entry. Now, if you don't pop your balutes, obviously you'll die a horrible, flamey death. We don't want that.
And by pop, you mean, like, set them off?
Yeah, yeah, don't physically pop them. If your Balut physically pops, you will also
see,
die.
See, that's what I thought you wanted me to do. I thought
death.
You wanted
don't,
me to pop
no,
my Balut.
Don't pop I'm your, like... don't physically pop your Balut. Just set it off. Engage it. Keep it on. Keep it not popped.
I want it to not be popped, but I want to pop it. You know?
Don't pop it.
No, you
don't pop
it. I mean,
Balut.
I'm going to pop it as in, like, set it off. But I'm not
going to have to talk to the AUG about a standardized language guide here.
That's actually wise.
He makes some notes. Deep in space, also approaching the outer orbit of Earth, trailing the Saint Sebastian at full speed, is a large Titan's battleship, the Ulysses. On its bridge, everyone wears a serious expression, including the captain. Before the captain steps the leader of her mobile suit team, Cav Walker. He gives a brief salute. Captain Tiny, intel seems to be correct. The Saint Sebastian seems to be dropping off some mobile suits for re-entry operation. Lone Star seems to be amongst their ranks.
Looks like we're gonna have to pay Lone Star a visit.
Yeah, the killers are all ready and rearing to go. They're kind of excited about this, actually.
The killers? Is that the name of a squad? The killers?
Cavs killers, baby.
Oh my god.
Somebody
come
told
on.
Me that
nice.
You had a boyfriend who
girlfriend in your February.
Under the further umbrella of Tiny's Tots. They are a piece of
They had to compensate for the cutesy name. Look, they're really hyped up for this. I would try to take Lone Star alive, you know. But, you know how they are.
You better reel your boys in. I think we have some questions that we need answered from our... What would you consider Lone Star to us now, Cav? I was gonna say friend, but...
Traitor... Scum, ash beneath my boot. He throws the cigarette to the ground and stomps it out on the bridge. I'll bring him in alive, don't worry. We didn't have time. Intel came last minute. We're not gonna be able to follow him to Earth just yet. So it's either we nab him during re-entry, or it's bust for now.
Either way, I think we should also be prepared for a fight.
Oh, I'm prepared. make that bastard pay for breaking my heart. What? Sorry.
Everybody just being gay today?
The men are ready. So am I.
Cav's killers don't all look like Lone Star, do they?
No. They don't.
They all look like Cav. They're all covered in blood and butter.
You broke Cav's heart in a broship way. He thought he thought you had something special going on there.
Man, I'm sad.
Lone Star burned so many bridges. What a douche.
What a fucking asshole.
He Lone Star runs across those bridges so fast they set aflame.
There's always loss in the ambition game.
All right. Re-entry is a go. Everyone is ready and rearing to launch. You have your Balut systems. It's kind of a one-and-done kind of deal.
When am I supposed to pop this Quaalude system?
yeah, where are we popping the Quaaludes, dude?
You want to get through the outer atmosphere, but pop it just as you enter, like, right before your mobile suit starts burning up. Because the Balut can only handle so much, but if you pop it too early, you're going to kind of be a sitting duck, which would be bad. So you also don't want to do that. And you'll also be really slow, and it'll throw you off course. So initially, you want to begin re-entry, suffer through a little bit of it, then pop the Balut at the last bit once you pass the point of no return, basically.
Okay, do we need to roll on this one?
Potentially later, yes.
Why would you ask him that?
Sorry.
Yeah, like I said, y'all are all ready to launch from Saint Sebastian. Your Baluts are ready and are like on your mobile suits. They're like a little backpack system. You have your emergency supplies for survival gear and kit ready for when you land in Alaska. Is there anything else you want to do? Any business you want to see to before you leave the Saint Sebastian? It'll be some time before you're able to return.
Don't think I have anything, no.
Gotcha. You received one last message from your information broker, Harlan Leisure.
Yeah, sure.
It says, good luck on reentry.
Bit ominous?
He's the leak.
He's playing all teams.
Lon Doc is like going through a checklist and is like asking you guys specific things. Is your balut packed to like regulation standard? Do you have the timing mechanism set up appropriately? Is your on-box system been calibrated for reentry?
Look, I'm sure it probably is. Come on, what are you doing?
All right. Look, reentry is very dangerous. It's very notorious.
I've done it like 3 times. It's easy.
I mean, all right.
And
it's
I mean, is that all?
If you say it's fine, I'll just, you know, go on, check other people.
Wait. Did you do all that stuff? You seem kind of anxious, kid.
No, I did all that stuff. I absolutely did all that stuff. There is, I checked it to a T. I'm terrified of reentry.
It's dangerous, sure.
It's incredibly dangerous.
But the more terrified you are, the more chance you'll die. That's facts.
I mean, okay, terrified might have been a strong word for me to use. I'm just taking a lot of precautions that are necessary.
No, you're terrified. I could feel it. You're giving me uneasy feelings. Fine.
I got a signature from one of my heroes. I'm feeling great. This is good.
Okay. As long as you're not gonna fuck up there, push the wrong button at the wrong time, die, fiery blaze. Good news is though, up. Is if you do fuck up, it's quick death. You won't even know it.
It's actually a slow death. You're cooked alive for five, 6 minutes.
Well, that's right. Pretty quick in retrospect. You know, at least you're not floating in space, running out of oxygen.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it beats that.
Yep. Lon, you're a good kid. Is Lone Star here? I think I want to talk to Lone Star. I think this is an appropriate time.
Yeah, before you both die, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to give a challenge to everyone involved here. Raise as many death flags as you can. That'll be a fun little mini game, right? Cool.
Yeah.
Fucking bet. Let's go.
Go for it. Raise as many death flags as you possibly can in the next few scenes.
Okay. Yeah, I walk up to Holden and Doc.
Oh.
Hey, you're doing good, Doc. Proud of you, man. You're making sure everyone's tip-top shape, man.
Yeah, it means a lot. Man, I can't believe I've been fighting alongside Lone Star this whole time.
I know, it's incredible.
It's one of the highlights of your life, right? You could die peacefully now, huh?
Absolutely. But hopefully not in reentry. That would be horrible.
That would be horrible. I mean, kind of overheard Tom talking in the hall about maybe promoting you to a higher position, giving you some more responsibility on the ship.
He actually told me about that. 2-rank promotion after this. 2 ranks. Can you believe it? They only give that out when people die, usually.
Oh, man. You deserve it, buddy. I've watched you grown for the little time I've spent here. I've seen you grown so much.
Thanks.
There's just so much more growth to come, I can see. He's got a lot of potential, this
guy. I heard rumors that you were, you're getting up there in age. Were you thinking about retiring soon?
Well, I guess the secret's out. I am 33 years old. Wait, no, 37. I am 37 years old. I'm back.
Pretty old for a pilot.
Yeah, don't tell anyone, but my eyesight's kind of shit. But he never stopped me before.
Don't see how it would now.
So, Lone Star, you met up with that, Rast Marco friend of yours?
Yep.
You got some water under the bridge, put some history and things behind you guys?
That's right, we really cleared things up, you know? I can go through this with a clear conscience, you know?
I see.
Things are just looking up.
What the fuck?
I'm proud of you guys.
Proud of you, buddy.
Anyone want to do other death flag scenes?
Lon Doc is going to be the one to die.
I know. I like throwing him to Lon.
Yeah.
I'm taking tally here, you fuckers. I'm taking fucking tally.
I want to do a pre-flight check, Adam. With an engineer in the hangar bay,
I can have Eddie running it through with you.
Yeah. Whenever you're ready.
All right, you look all good. Check your Verners.
I don't check it. I just pretend I do.
Check your balut system. Make sure it's going to respond when you trigger it.
Same thing. Just pretend I do it.
All right. Make sure your Ombak system's calibrated. You got the horizon line on your screen, right?
I don't even know what that is.
You've been a pilot for a decade or two, and you don't know what the horizon line is?
I just look at something and go towards it. That's how I fly.
You don't need a horizon in space. He turned it off. It's been off since right. last time he was in.
Yeah, in right. Needs that pussy shit.
Yeah. He goes on an Earth mission and is like, damn, what's this fucking line across my screen?
No, it's been on a planet.
All right. If you're all good there, Mad Gun, I think you might be checked out. Might be good.
Cool. I start drinking.
My hit class. Some liquid courage before the mission, I see.
Just thirsty.
All right.
How many flags is that, Adam?
That's a few. That's a few for sure.
Okay.
So is my Psycho Gundam in the same hangar as everyone else?
Yeah, and it also has been fitted with a very large balut system. Captain Tom comes to meet with you. Capri.
Captain?
Yeah, so, your re-entry is gonna be a bit different. You're gonna be in the Psycho Gundam when you do
Fuck.
It.
Really?
It doesn't have a lot of the proper systems to re-guide itself into for re-entry, so you're gonna have to babysit it some. As opposed to your gym, which we've connected to the string behind you, and you're just hit another button along with your balut system, and it should be fine.
Why do you call it a string?
Yeah, tether. The image is just too funny.
This tether
of string here.
This yarn that's connecting you.
It's yarn harness that we've tied across this.
Aww, these pipe cleaners like ought to do
these series of long flags and ribbons.
It's like when the little kid has like their stuffed animal on like a leash and they just drag it through the absolute mud behind them.
If you need any help, contact us on this. He hands you a cup with a string connected to a cup he's holding.
Hello.
That's a good joke.
Oh, no, you got to tension it. You got to tension it.
Yeah. It's not going to work without any tension.
Yeah, that's great. That's like a Mel Brooks joke right there.
Yeah, good job, Adam.
You're welcome.
You turned our podcast to a fucking joke. Yeah, it was all serious till you showed up.
He doesn't do any of that, and he calls it a tether.
Okay.
Gether's like, yeah. Okay. Another Mel Brooks joke.
All right, but yeah, I know you're not used to it, but the AUK says that thing needs to be down there. It's important.
Are they going to take it?
Yeah, you'll be taking it.
No, I'm taking it, but are they going to take it when I get down there?
No, you'll be piloting it.
Okay.
It's all yours after this. I really hope all that practice came through.
The one step she took a few times.
Do you have anything to ask Captain Tom before he sends you on your way?
What are we doing down there?
Liberating Alaska.
Oh my god.
From who?
From the Titans.
The Titans?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hell yeah. You got it.
You understand it perfectly. That's why you're repeating it to me. You got a good head on your shoulders, kid. Keep it on there.
And it was at that moment that Capri realized she was not well.
All it took was Captain Tom complimenting her. All right. The rest of you launch without issue. You get into your cockpits, you run through your systems, and you launch via catapult. Obviously, this sends you in the direction of Earth. And you feel the temperature rise in your cockpit just a little bit, and you see the outside temperature of your mobile suit begin to rise quite dramatically as you try to remain on the projected course outlined on your computer. And obviously, if you make a direct re-entry, even with a balut system, you will die. An angular re-entry is necessary, not just for living, but for landing where you need to.
I report back in.
I'm getting a little shake, like a little vibration in the controls.
The bridge responds. It's very staticky. You're already losing contact with them.
It's normal for re-entry.
I don't know. This is pretty bad.
Wow, I'm really feeling the temperature rise in my cock.
Capri, you are the last to launch. You didn't even notice the other ones were launching from the catapult. You were focused on stepping inside the cockpit of the Psycho Gundam. You've been in there a number of times now, and you've heard the siren song even more times. It's very familiar to you. And as you take a seat in the cockpit, you feel more control over it than you ever have before. You're ready to launch on the catapult. And behind you, being launched with you, is going to be your gem on like a tow line, mm-hmm, effectively. Mm-hmm. It also has a balut system. And like Tom explained to you, the control to pop your own balut and deploy it will deploy the balut on the gem as well, so that you will basically have two mobile suits on the ground once you arrive. The idea, probably, without him explaining it, because he didn't, but Capri smart to figure this out, is that your gem will probably be used as spare parts to repair everyone else's gems. All right, you launch, and re-entry begins for the mission. One staticky last command from Captain Tom comes in over the comms.
Just good luck out there!
Before it cuts out. All right, re-entry is going fairly smoothly. You are all on the correct trajectory.
Can we get some re-entry sounds? Some shaking of metal plates too, you know?
I don't have metal plates.
Come on.
I have some scissors.
Wait, actually, yeah, that works. I kind of like that.
Kind of pretty good. Not the worst. Not the worst.
Harold, how's the temperature looking?
Temperature high, but standard for re-entry.
You don't sound evil enough.
Damage acquired in last battle, not severe enough to compromise integrity.
Sounds a little too high pitched. More grovelly, please, Adam.
My trajectory looking good, or do I need to adjust?
Trajectory fine.
Let me know once I deviate too much.
I like that in character he critiqued him and was like, not evil enough.
Acknowledged.
Bondoc radios to the rest of you guys.
All right, everyone stay on course. We're doing fine. This is great. Everything's going fine. All right.
Did you say deploy volume? Then pop it?
Don't pop it.
I'm just kidding. Well, I'm just trying to keep you on your toes.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I almost popped mine there as a reaction. That would have been dangerous.
Yeah, that would have been dumb.
All right.
Death.
Can't do that.
Don't do that.
Capri.
Yes, that's me.
Give me a keen plus your new type score plus empathy.
Oh, she's losing it.
That's a fail by one. Would you like to use a narrative point to succeed that?
I guess. Yes, I will.
All right. You succeed the roll then. So you get the distinct feeling of hostiles approaching from an off angle. Quickly, very quickly, like launched from a catapult of a nearby battleship quick. There are five of them.
Am I able to know in time to retaliate?
Not retaliate, but you can tell other people about it and prepare yourself. One of their presences feels very familiar. It is a presence you know, one that you've had very occasionally in your nightmares / memories.
What? Okay. Everyone, guys, there's five hostiles. Something's wrong. One feels familiar. Guys, I don't know what's going on.
What the fuck? All right, pop in my volume. I'm just kidding.
What? Where are they coming from?
Harrow, do a large perimeter scan.
Capri, how do you know this?
I feel it.
Lone Star, I will now ask you to also give me a keen empathy with a new type score as a bonus.
So five successes.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, you immediately, at the same time Capri feels it, you feel it too. You sense five hostile presences approaching very quickly. You also recognize one of them.
Capri's right. I feel it too.
You can feel it. You know this person. You fought alongside him for some time, actually. You hear the name kind of spoken to you, almost in his voice.
Cav Walker.
Holden's like, what the fuck? Why'd you say that?
Out of nowhere.
Why'd you fucking say that?
I have nothing on my radar. Where are they coming from?
I don't know. But I feel it too. I think it's him. I think it's Cav.
What the fuck?
Wait, Cav Walker, wasn't he in your unit back in the day?
Yeah.
All right, now, a little bit after the fact, the blips start appearing on your extended radar, Wolf.
Wait, they're showing up now.
Oh, fuck, we're dead. We're fucking dead, guys. I'm deploying the balloon.
Four of them, you recognize the signature of their Mars size. It is a type of Titan suit that you've occasionally encountered, usually deployed by elite forces. Okay. But the other IFF, you don't recognize the model code, but you can recognize enough of it to know that it's full armored something, which is probably not a good thing. It's approaching front and center.
There's a lot of trouble coming. You need to prepare.
As soon as you say that, a series of beam volleys are fired in your direction. Not at you, but the you in a general sense. I'm going to say Capri... You're the bigger target, so I will need you to roll to avoid that. Give me a poise, maneuver, and mobility.
Okay. So I was aiming for 12, and I rolled 11.
Hey.
So that's
all right.
Two success, right?
Yeah, so you barely managed to move the chonky Psycho Gundam out of the way as the twin pair of beams shoot through just where you were a moment ago. In fact, one of them cuts the tether to your gym. It, of course, continues to fall into Earth's gravity, into the atmosphere. But without the tether, you won't be able to guide it, and you also won't be able to deploy the balut on it. A long, solid beam cuts toward Wolf. You recognize it on approach as effectively a long-range beam rifle, a sniper weapon being shot at you.
Thanks for the sound.
And over your comms, you hear someone whisper to you,
"Don't move."
Huh?
You should not be in within contacts comms and should not be close enough for like laser line or anything. So that's confusing.
It's very confusing. Harold, do we have an incoming radio message?
Communication from unknown relay. Can locate.
I locate it.
Working.
All right. There is still a shot incoming as you have Evil Haro working on locating where the signal's coming from.
Do I trust it? The voice?
I guess that's up to you, but I mean, if you don't move, you're gonna get shot.
Oh, so it is coming towards me, like squarely.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Now I'm gonna evade. Come on. How do I evade while in fucking free fall towards Earth? I guess I just try to roll to the side.
Yep. At this point, you can still do it with ease. You haven't passed the point of no return yet, where you have enough speed that it becomes basically impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Are you just going to try to evade then?
Yes. Yeah?
All right. Also, give me a poise, maneuver, and mobility.
I need to hit a 6. That's not going to happen.
Jesus Christ.
I have no maneuver. I'm a sniper. I rolled a 13.
All right, the fuck?
Do you want your shield to eat it?
Yeah.
I would recommend that because it's a gun like yours almost.
Yeah, I know what it can do. Okay.
Yeah.
My shield is done.
It hits your shield and tears it off.
Fuck!
And you hear the same whisper come across your mic. It's not even a whisper. This person's just speaking like very hushed, quietly in general. Like it's like their normal voice.
Thanks.
Holden, one of the bogeys is approaching you very quickly. He's going to make a pass at you. He's approaching you so quickly that it would be hard to believe that he's going to be able to turn around and stay in battle. Like, he has such a trajectory that he's going to hit you, and that's probably going to be all he can do in combat. But it is fast and terrifying. You see a Marisai. It looks like some kind of twin blade, a beam weapon, one in each hand coming at you. Double bidents, one might
no
say.
Way. No
oh,
way.
God. Quad bidents.
Quad Biden.
By Bidens.
By Bidens. So I do have two shields.
You do?
I'm going to survive this attack. We know that, Adam.
Yeah.
But
it would be better if you don't get hit. But I mean, I understand the like. Yeah, I mean.
So what if I bring out my Beam Biden and try to, parry him away from me?
Cool. That sounds cool. I like
that. Yeah, it's kind of cool. Kind of like sling him, like yo-yo him, or not yo-yo. Just kind of twirl him around me.
Around
since he's going.
Yeah. Using his momentum. Yeah. Give me a grit, a melee, and reactor.
I got to get under 11. I got a 5.
Hold up. That's a 2d6. You got to roll 3.
Oh, you're right. I'll roll one more. You want me to just roll one more?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm cheating. You're right.
Oh, you rolled an 11. That was cool.
1 degree of success. Who's cheating now, Fred?
Yeah.
You're cheating.
The first part of that roll was really good. Fuck you.
All right. Yeah, you catch the twin bidence, effectively, that this Marisai has and enter contact comms with him. His voice is, he seems surprised.
What the fuck? A Zeke with moves. This is fun.
Before he passes over you and just keeps going. Because of his momentum, he can't really stop himself.
Nice.
I take a sigh of relief because I knew it wasn't Cab because I'd be dead. It's not Cav yet.
All right. A standard pattern Marisai coming in quite hot is going to be attacking you, Mad Gun. They are firing their beam weapon at you on their approach in kind of large sprays, seeming to, with the purpose of separating you from Lone Star.
So, I turn in place. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I see visual contact with the enemy, right?
Yes.
And I give everything back. So my main gun, my Vulcans, anything I can physically shoot, I return fire with.
All right.
And then I send one of the little voice comm things, right? Yeah? You listening?
Yeah.
And I'm like,
come on, motherfucker. Come on. Fucking do it. Let's go. Let's go.
Yeah, okay.
Jesus Christ. Give me a Wrath, Firearms, and Reactor then.
14.
You can re-roll for a narrative point.
I'm good.
Okay. Your shots go wide. They're thrown in a variety of directions. But luckily, the shots sent toward you weren't meant to hit you either. And were meant to kind of just space you away and keep you away from supporting Lone Star.
Mm.
Your screaming over comms is met with a response of being connected via comms, having your volume immediately muted, and seeing an annoyed blonde woman say,
God, the overacting.
She rolls her eyes.
Don't get in Cav's way.
Oh. Can I see Cav?
Not yet.
As soon as I can see him, I want to link with him.
Okay. All right. We can definitely do that.
Could Lone Star hear Mad Gun as he was screaming and stuff?
These are like laser lines, so I mean, I could say you heard him over like comms as at the same time, probably. But yeah. I mean, you wouldn't be able to hear the other person.
Right.
Cav, or what must be Cav, because this unit, these unit of Marisai that you've noticed, are painted in black and purple with some gold embellishes. But mostly charcoal black and gray. These are definitely Cav's boys. And leading up the center is a mobile suit that Lone Star recognizes as the Gundam Mark II. It has some extra bits attached to it. Quite heavier looking bits, actually. You would assume from your experience with the Federation that this is a full armor variant. Additional armor has been added to the Mark II. And he's coming straight for you, Lone Star.
Guys, be careful. We've got a souped up Mark II on the way.
Now would be your chance if you want to connect comms, Mad Gun.
I connect. I'm like, beam email. Like, I just spam it. I'm just fucking sitting there, like, sending it. Just fucking sending it.
He answers.
Hey, buddy! Hey! Long time no fucking see.
Ready to do this?
Not right now. Gonna have to reschedule.
Oh, no, buddy.
I hang up.
He makes a beeline straight for fucking Lone Star. And it looks like he's going to go in for melee. Off for his side, he deploys a very large beam saber in one hand. And on the other hand, mounted to the wrist is a dual beam cannon that was probably the one that shot at Capri at the opening of the battle. All right, he makes contact comms with Lone Star.
Well, howdy, traitor!
Oh, shit!
How's it going?
Cav. What's up, buddy?
Just stay sitting pretty there. We're gonna take you back to Tiny.
Yeah, I don't know about that, guys. We might have to take a rain check.
Can't push that plan back. I already pushed back Mad Gun. Gonna have to book you in for right fuck now!
And then attacks you with melee. All right.
Okay. I want to ready my wrist-mounted beam sabers and try to block his melee attack.
Gotcha. All right, going in for a parry attack.
Yeah.
We do poise, melee, reactor.
Okay. Six successes.
Whoa!
Two.
You parry him and he kind of spins around you, using his thrusters to slow himself down as much as he can to kind of stay on you, stay within contact comms.
You got a bit better while you were gone.
This isn't how I wanted to meet with you again.
Funny how that works out.
Yep.
Come along quiet. Maybe I can make your case to Tiny not to fucking put two in your head.
I'm afraid I can't do that.
Have it your way.
All right. At that exact time, you all see notices pop up from your computers. Uh-huh. Point of no return imminent.
Oh, great.
Entering point of no return. You notice the enemy mobile suits that have kind of are kind of making a drive-by pass with you. The only one that really engaged was Cav. The rest have like flown by you or in the process of flying by you, taking pot shots.
Shot.
You were shot. That wasn't a pot shot.
Yeah.
That was from a sniper. The rest are only capable of pot shots. The sniper is capable of more than pot shots. But yeah, the rest are taking pot shots as they pass you guys. And it looks like Cav is going to make an attempt to grapple you, Lone Star, and pull you along with them with their momentum. So I'm going to roll that, and then we'll see how we do. Not that great.
Okay, so as he attempts to grapple me, I want to just kind of push back against his torso with my feet.
All right, sending him away. I mean, there's a lot of momentum here, and so if he can't grab you now, he's basically lost you in re-entry. You're going to get, we'll say that's like a poise move. So give me poise, fight, and mobility, and you get a +2 to it to kick him away.
Sweet. So I got to get 15 or less.
Oh, you needed it.
Yeah.
Go ahead and describe it.
Okay, so as he's making his way to grapple toward me, I kick back into his torso and try to force myself further downward and away from him.
You put your mobile suit's foot into his cockpit, basically, and it sends him back a good deal. It doesn't look like he'll be able to recover with the momentum that he had coming in anyway, kind of grab you in melee. He points the arm that was holding the beam saber at you. He fires his twin rockets in your direction, and you hear one little bit of comms and says,
"Fine, have it your way, you fucking traitor!"
Dude, as I'm cutting out, I just want to be like,
"I'm sorry, Cav. Hopefully we'll talk later."
Just static. The two shots fired at you, go ahead and roll to evade for them.
He's going up, I'm going down. He's shooting down at me with the two missiles, right?
Yep.
Okay, so I just want to just kind of keep my momentum and do some barrel rolls out of the way, you know, something simple like that.
Poise, maneuver, mobility.
Okay, super success that time.
All right, you dodge both of the rocket missiles. One goes wide, but one heads in the direction of Capri. Capri, you don't have much time head up to respond to this.
Oh shit, Capri, look out!
How do you plan to respond to it?
I wanna shoot. Pow pow.
Okay. Yeah, give me like a keen, a firearms, and an optics to be able to shoot the missile before it hits you. It will be at like a minus, I'm going to say a -3, because like I said, you don't have much heads up. It's very close.
I just meet.
Oh, awesome. Cool. You barely manage to shoot the missile before it hits you, saving yourself some damage. And as soon as they arrive, they're gone. Because they can't or are not prepared for re-entry, this mad dash at high speed basically across you as you did re-entry was probably the best that they could muster for now. Re-entry becomes quiet again, specifically because your comms are fucked. All of your comms are fucked.
So we can't even talk to each other?
It's hard. You can barely pick out static words from each other. You know?
Oh, okay. Yeah, just like that, huh?
Just like that. Your computers prompt you that you are entering the point of no return. Wolf, Evil Haro, comes back with you and tells you that the source of the transmission was a relay that was launched on Catapult ahead of the team.
That's not helpful.
Yeah, you can guess from that that he was probably bouncing the signal from that to you.
That's why it's not helpful.
Yeah.
Shit. But the shot came from somewhere else, huh?
The shot came from, like, the main body of the Marisai. Yeah. So it was one of the Marisai that took the shot at you.
Well, I can't really act on that. I'm just falling. I keep falling.
Point of no return reached. Even the mobile suit operation systems is like, must deploy Balu. Must deploy Balu. Deploy Balu.
Please, for the love of God, deploy Balu.
I don't want to die.
How far can we... go without?
Not far. You already were prompted for entering the point of no return. This is like, you are at the edge of it. This is it. Like I said, you're out of combat. These Marisais can't make another pass without you without having to do re-entry themselves. And there's probably a reason why their tactic was so hit and run. You didn't see any Balut systems on their backs.
Right. Yeah, okay. Then I'll just deploy it.
And the rest of you see a similar message popping up on your computers.
Deploy.
Deploy.
I'm gonna do that for everyone.
Deploy.
Deploying my Balut, Londok says, and he's dead. Through static.
What did Londok do during that whole fucking encounter anyways? Was he just like watching it?
He wasn't attacked, and so he just took pot shots like everyone else did. Look, they were approaching at like stupid speeds. It's not much of a fight.
See, I knew the plan wasn't going to work because it was Cav's plan, and Cav can't plan worse shit.
You're right. Capri, Balut, Balut time? You're getting warned to pop your Balut.
Do I do it?
You can. You can hit the button. Hit the button.
Hit the button. I hit the button.
You hit the button.
Error message.
What?
Error message.
It's a vague error message talking about something being... jammed.
Why?
You suspect it might be the tether.
What do I do? Am I just like falling to my death now?
Yes. Yes, you are.
I'm descending into my death.
You're descending into a very unpleasant, horrible, fiery death below you.
And all I can think about is maybe my head will stop hurting.
You begin to drop faster and faster than your teammates, who are being slowed down by their Baluts. They're above you now, and they can all see you.
Is there an issue with her? She's not deploying her Balu.
Oh, shit. It looks like the tether's jammed, says Londok.
Detach the tether, then hit the button.
I'm gonna try to get close to her if I can. Can I, like, go faster with the thing? I probably can, right?
The only way you could get faster is by popping your Balu.
Oh, fuck that.
Don't pop the Balu. Don't pop.
There's a tense moment as the team watches Capri drift in the Psycho Gundam deeper and deeper into Earth's atmosphere.
Could I shoot something on her that would, like, pop the Balu?
The Balu basically pops behind you, so you can't see anything beneath you in the atmosphere. That's how they kind of work. So it's like a big balloon's behind you. You could shoot up, but you couldn't shoot back. There's quiet over comms as the tension sets in and you see the Psycho Gundam with Capri in it drift slowly more and more into the atmosphere. And then suddenly there's another mobile suit joining alongside of it, slowly approaching, increasing its speed into the atmosphere. It's Londok's Jim. He popped his Balu and he's approaching the Psycho Gundam. He makes contact comms with Capri as he reaches it.
All right, Capri... I'm gonna dislodge this, and you just need to hit the button after that.
Can I hear him?
Yeah, he's in contact comms.
Why are you doing this?
Look, I'm gonna be honest, I'm a bit of dead weight. Team's at a bit of a loss with you, though.
I don't think that's true.
You hear him pull something, and there's a noise, and your balut that was hung up suddenly is now no longer hung up, and it deploys. And his mobile suit is pulled from yours by the force of the balut, the very large one, being deployed.
What?
And you see him fall out in the distance. As static cuts his comms. Below on Earth, somewhere in Alaska, sitting atop a bunker somewhere, a young man in a Xeon uniform watches as stars fall from the heavens, and one of them turns into a red comet.
Dead Set Medium.